Welcome to the Relationship Manifesto podcast series.
Welcome back to the Relationship Manifesto podcast series, episode 35. 52 is on the horizon, a year.
Don't the years pass when you're getting older and having fun? We have more fun as we get older, have you noticed that?
Well, I wouldn't know because I can't remember what I did last week. So anyway, episode 35 in the podcast series. And the last two have been interesting. There was almost a sort of continuity there from sort of pregnancy to just after birth and young kids. So we thought we'd now do 96 episodes of each year of your... No, we're not going to do that, right? It's, we thought we'd time travel quite quickly now to puberty.
I know for those of you out there listening who've not had children might think, oh, maybe this is another... You might be thinking this is another podcast on kids. Well, it's not, because it's really a podcast about you. Because all of you listeners, you've all gone through puberty. And if you've not got through puberty, you should not be listening to this X-rated podcast. So I know you've all gone through puberty, and I know from, because I know many of you have revealed this to me in your communications with me, I know many of you have got, the time around puberty was particularly important to you, because it was time when your own identity was developing and when you had situations of that emerged with your parents especially, which became problematic, and they've had an influence on who you've become today. So this podcast is for all of you out there. And I was, before I go any further, I want to just take this little chance to do a poem. Now, I'm not a poet, and I don't read many poets, but this particular poem is one that some of you will be familiar with, but all of you should be aware of. And it's by a poet called Philip Larkin, who was born in Hull. He was a librarian at Hull University, and he was alive in the around the middle of the 20th century, one of the great British or English poets, and this poem, which is brief, is called "This Be the Verse." Yes, I know many of you are smiling now because I know you know what I'm going to say. Chris doesn't, because he doesn't know the poem. I haven't told him I'm going to do this, so I'm going to. If you had a camera, you could see his face. This poem is for all of you who are. Have gone through puberty, and it's for all of you who may or may not be thinking of becoming a mum and a dad. Here we go. This is Philip Larkin. This be the verse. They fuck you up, your mum and dad. They may not mean to, but they do. They fill you with the faults they had and add some extra just for you. But they were fucked up in their turn by fools in old style hats and coats who half the time were soppy stern and half at one another's throats. Man hands on misery to man, it deepens like a coastal shelf. Get out as early as you can, and don't have any kids yourself.
Actually, I think I have heard that before, actually. It's,
for all the parts of parenthood, for all the phases of parenthood, that poem is particularly pertinent for the period of puberty. Why? Well, puberty is that period when we're undergoing the most phenomenal change. Hormonal change, social change, physical change. It's a deep period. It's a period of deep and unsettling uncertainty. So it's a challenge to the family, a challenge to the mum and dad, how they deal with it. And it's a challenge, of course, to all of us who have gone through it, and all of us do go through it, and we cope with it in our different ways. And males and females can often cope with it in different ways. The parent, though, if the parent is of the type that's implied by Philip Larkin's poem, that is a parent that is traditional, staid, stuck in the ways, conservative, reactionary, and sees the world in simplistic black and white and simplistic gender and sexual stereotypes, then you've got a problem. If you're the child of a parent like that, and you happen to be gay or bisexual or lesbian or transgendered, or even just wanting to express yourself in a freer way, in the 21st century, which is your right to do, then you've got a problem with the parent like that. And I come across many fucked up people as a relationship coach and to my friendship groups, people who were fucked up. They're not so fucked up now, but their parents have been largely been the contributor to that emotional mess that they've found themselves in. The good news is that people can overcome it and get through it as they get older, as they mature. But the bad news is that they have to do that in the first place, that there's going to be pain and disappointment and hurt. And kids look for love. They look for love from the parents. If it's not going to be there from the parents, where is it going to come from? And you don't stop loving your child because he or she suddenly becomes a rebellious 15 or 16-year-old. He's gone from this angelic, cherubic type 4 or 5-year-old, and suddenly this long-haired monster or shaven-headed skinhead or punk or emo or whatever it is. No, you carry on loving. And that's the important thing about being a parent. The love comes without condition. It's not conditional on the child being straight or being gay or being bi or being big or small or being a good athlete or a good musician or being clever at school or whatever. It's not any of that. The love is unconditional. Do not become a parent unless you can give unconditional love to your child for as long as you are alive. Because it doesn't stop when your child becomes 21 or 22 or 42 or 52. It carries on. It never, ever stops. And that unconditional love is absolutely vital. And it's unconditional on any aspect of what your child might emerge to be. Because you have to allow your child to grow, to flow. You have to allow your child to be the person they want to be. It's a fundamental premise in my life. It's a fundamental premise in the Relationship Manifesto. And where we get fucked up kids is when parents come in and start trying to dovetail their child into their expectations of what they want the child to be. Parents, it's not your life. Get away. Stay off. What you've got to do is provide love and support unconditionally throughout that child's life. Not just when they're 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years old, but when they're 25, 35, 45. It never stops. You never stop giving love. You never stop giving support. You never stop being there for your child. And you do it unconditionally, and you do it in a non-judgmental way. Your child gets into trouble. You've got to be the one that stands by them. Your child makes a mistake, does something wrong. You've got to be the one that stands by them. Not anybody else. There's no one else in the world going to stand by them if you as a parent can't do it. You have to be the one. As I say, do not get into parenting unless you can cope with that, unless you can be that person. Because all you're going to do if you do get into parenting and you're not supportive, you're going to be following the Philip Larkin model, which is you're going to fuck your kids up. And do you want to bring fucked up kids into the world? There's enough fucked up people already. So this is vitally important. Non-judgmental love. Unconditional, non-judgmental love for as long as a child, or as long as you're alive, regardless of where they go and what they do. It doesn't mean you don't offer advice. It doesn't mean you don't offer guidance. You do. But remember, it's their life, not yours. And you, just because you're the parent, doesn't mean you're the fountain of all knowledge, that you know everything. Your child will go off and learn things that you would never understand. They'll go off and have experiences that you'll never have. They'll go to places you'll never have. They'll become their own person in time, their own adult. And they in turn will have children. And if you can stop that coastal shelf of grief and regret and pain and fuck up happening, then you can stop it. I'll give you one example. You might have been brought up as a child where you were beaten and knocked about by your parents. That sort of physical discipline might have been a characteristic of your life. Where your father laid a hand on you with a belt or a stick or the back of his hand. Okay, that's a poor way of parenting. It's not a good way to parent. Because at that moment, the parent's losing control, has lost control. Let me say to you as a child that's been on the receiving end of that physical punishment, don't pass it on to your kids. Just because it was given to you, you don't give it to your kids. You stop it there. It doesn't have to become a generational thing. I'm just talking about physical punishment now. But it could be anything. maybe you, in your time, I'll go to the other extreme. Maybe in your as a parent, maybe you were very liberal. Maybe you as a young man or as a young parent, you were into drugs, drink, whatever. Don't expect your child to follow that model. That's your model. If you're into drugs and drink, fine. But if that your child may not be into drugs and drink, and don't expect them to follow that line. Don't expect them to follow the career that you've set out for them. You want them to grow creatively. Identity is a process of creative development for each of us. Allow your child to grow creatively. And puberty is absolutely key, because at that point the child is confused, it's uncertain. There's all sorts of sex and sexuality issues kicking in. Enormous peer group pressure on a child, both male and female. There's all the educational pressures now, which are phenomenal around the world, particularly in developed and developed countries where there are educational opportunities, but they're not equally spread out, and it's highly competitive. There's relationships. It's not this relationship your son or daughter has with you, but the relationships they have in turn with other people. All the issues of love and affection and being rejected and association, the bonding with their peers. These are all confusing, emotive, and highly dynamic situations that your child's in. So how do you get around this? Well, there is no simple way, but one thing I've learned in my life is you have to move your own identity. Look, your child is already changing their identity. Whether they're male or female, this is a given. They're in a process of identity evolution, transformation, that is becoming very rapid and very profound and very visible to you and the world around them from about the age of 12. They're already changing their identity. The problem is, are you changing yours? Because you have to change your identity now as a parent. You may have been a very successful parent in some ways up until that child gets to about 12 or 13. But do you think you can carry on in that way? Do you think you can be the same, you can follow the same parenting model at 15, when the child's 15, that you had when he was 5? Don't believe that. That's a complete fallacy. You have to adapt. You have to change. You have to recognize that you've no longer got a child in the house. You've got a young adult, soon to be an adult, and someone that's soon going to flee the nest. They'll be on the way, whether they go to university or not. They're going to be living their own independent life in some form or another. In a nutshell, you have to go from being a parent to what I call a parent pal. You have to become a friend to your child. Now, that doesn't mean you give up and relinquish all the parental responsibilities or even the authority of being a parent, but it does mean that you operate in a different space. You are now becoming more open. You offer trust and openness and candidness and honesty with your child. You talk about anything and everything. You want to get to that position where your child will be honest and open with you. If they're being pressured to use drugs, if they're being bullied at school, if they want to go into the first sexual encounter, should they use condoms or not? Where do they buy the condoms? What about going on the pill? All these issues. These are issues that you have got to be involved in as the parent. Do you want your child to go talking to the teacher at the school or getting this information and knowledge through the peers in the school or on the street? Of course not. You're the person who should be doing it, and you can only do that if you've moved from being a parent to being a parent pal. It's a very, very critical time. And the key time is up to about 17, because if you've not achieved that identity in your child's mind of being almost a pal, they're not losing the parent bit, but you're still but being the pal. If you've not achieved that by the child's 17, you're not going to achieve it. It's going to be very, very difficult after 17 or 18 to have it. So you've got to make those changes come into your life, and you've got to adapt, start bringing a more open, fluid, more responsive and less rigid approach to parenting from when the child's about 12 or 13, and it will gather force. And your child will value that and thrive as a consequence. Another key element in all this is that you have to disregard the idea of normal. Normal's a problem word for a number of reasons. We've discussed it in previous podcasts, but in this particular context, normal is absolutely dangerous, because your child's an individual. Your child It's not you. It's not your arm or your leg. It's not. It might have come out of your loins, but it's not only you. This child will emerge into the world and create themselves in their own image, their own identity in a creative way. You cannot impose normal on them. You cannot impose on them a normal sexuality. You cannot say to them that heterosexuality is the normal. Heterosexuality might be more typical, but it's not normal any more than gay sex is not normal. You disabuse the idea of normal. These are all different. They're all part of the menu of sexual expression and sexual identity we've got in our life. And they're all equally important, they're all equally valid, and they're all equal. So no normal. No normal about what people do or what people don't do or how people should express themselves or not or what identities are more normal than others. Because as soon as you impose the word normal, you're imposing a regime on the child, a boundaries, expectations, which may or may not suit that child. Let the child grow. Do not end up, as Philip Larkin said, as one of those parents that's going to fuck their child up.
Stephen, I think I'm going to suggest we stop there, because I've not seen you do that before, talk like that before. There's a passion, there's a nerve there, wasn't there? There was a which was very interesting. And I think, especially with that last line, going back to Stephen Larkin, this may well be a good time for us to stop. And then we'll come back maybe to look at the topic a bit more. Are you happy with that?
Yeah, fine.
I think that was quite an amazing 20 minutes you just did. No, I do. I didn't have to prompt you at all. So that was quite amazing. When you listen back to yourself there, there was a real passion and a spark there, which I actually not in 30-odd episodes, I've not seen that before. That was quite amazing. I'm going to do that. We're going to pull this to a after 20 minutes. We're going to stop this one, and I suspect you'll agree that if you're hoping for another 20 minutes, listen to it again.
I think I need another beer.
Again, to remind you about where the podcast is, it's at relationshipmanifesto.postures.com. See you again next week. Have fun. See you, Stephen.
This recording is part of a Relationship Manifesto podcast series with Chris Smith and Stephen Whitehead.